You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. We'll be joined by Steve Geller for our triple option feature. 4:20, Lessies from Crescent City Sports, longtime cover of the NFL Saints and the NFL Saints Super Bowls will be on. We'll talk about all that. 4:40, Mike Haas, voice of the Saints. At 5:20, Mark Schlereth, one of our best guests we get on, talk about Saints, NFL, Kellen Moore. And Charlie, it was official today, the hiring of Kellen Moore. And we'll see how the staff shakes out and the retooling of the Saints starts today. With the hiring of Kellen Moore, you know, a lot of people have brought up about can he be the leader in the big room now? Because he's never been a head coach before, but it's an old bum line. Bum Phillips would always say, well, you got to start somewhere. You got to be a first-time coach the first time and see how it handles. Why I think that Kellen Moore is going to be a leader is I think because of the fact he can communicate and motivate. He's been a quarterback in high school. He's the winningest quarterback in the history of college football at Boise State. His time in the NFL, he was a backup, but he was quarterback there. The team looks at you. They're looking at you. You're the leader. Come on. You know, if you screw up, they're not looking at the head coach. They're looking at you as the quarterback. And Jake DeLome told me this years ago, when you make up your mind, you're going to be the quarterback, that's what you want to play. You also take on the responsibilities to basically be a leader, be a motivator, and a guy that can basically communicate with others. You have to be able to do it. Now, talent wins, and this football team needs help at every position, basically, across the board. But why I think Kellen Moore has a really good chance to work out, he's been in that spot. You might say he's never been a head coach, but he's been a quarterback at the highest levels in college football. He's been a backup in the NFL. But you're a leader of men. You're a motivator. Look how the Eagles attacked the Chiefs. They went after Mahomes and figured, you know what? We clipped the head off the leader, you know, and we got this. They attacked him. Right off the bat, they wanted to make him uncomfortable, and they did the entire game. So I think this is why, Charlie, for me, when I look at a quarterback that becomes an assistant coach, I think he's got some advantages other people haven't had because he's carried that responsibility before, being a quarterback. You know, Bobby always tells me, Mike, quarterback trumps every other position on the field, and he's right about that. But also you take on the responsibilities of being a leader, being a motivator, and having the ability to communicate with others.
Real quick, Mike, the one play call from the Super Bowl that I was just like, I am sold on Kellen Moore. In the third quarter, they're up 27-0. They get a fourth down stop near midfield. Everyone in the world is thinking Kellen's going to run the ball with Saquon. They're going to run it with Jalen Hurts. They're going to run this clock. Out of the pistol formation, they run a play-action pass, and he airs it out to Devontae Smith. Touchdown, dagger. 34-0 in the Super Bowl. That is like the killer instinct that you love to see. Kellen Moore, as you mentioned, great success at Boise State. Went 50-3 as a college quarterback. Enters the NFL, starts, he has time with the Dallas Cowboys, obviously. And then he basically shifted from being a backup quarterback to the quarterback coach. So when we talked with Babe Laufenberg a couple weeks back, Mike, he brought up a great point about his connection with Dak Prescott at that time, where he went from being his teammate to being his coach and then being his coordinator in a three-year span. He was a backup quarterback, the quarterback coach, then he gets promoted to be the OC. He's 36 years old. He's been an OC for 6 years, Mike. I kind of mentioned that in the Sports Slash. So, yes, he's the youngest head coach in the NFL at this point, but at the same time, he's got a very accomplished resume. In 6 years as an OC, Bobby's brought this up plenty of times when we've talked about Kellen Moore. Four times he's had a top 10 scoring offense. The guy knows offense. He's a brilliant young offensive mind. Now, you've brought it up as well, Mike. How does he kind of fill out his staff? What is the defense of coaching staff going to look like for the Saints? Because you don't know everything on the field. You know offense. And we know that Kellen Moore knows offense because he's been elite as a play caller and OC in the NFL for 6 years. This is an interesting hire because he hasn't been the head coach yet. So there are the question marks. But we've talked about this as well, Mike. The Saints wanted to take the big home run hack. They wanted to take the swing. And if it works out and you found gold in Kellen Moore, then you're setting yourself up for years to come. So we'll see what happens. I'm really intrigued by Kellen Moore as a first-time head coach because Laufenberg mentioned it as well, Mike, that all these guys, at some point, you're a first-time head coach.
It's a Bum Phillips line. Man, I remember talking to Bum about this. This is after he had got out of coaching, and he was like, hell, nobody knew who I was. I became a first-time head coach for the first time. You don't know. And, you know, did Mike McCarthy have more skins on the wall? No question about it. Because he had been there, done that, two different teams. He had been a head coach. I think about this franchise. They hired Hank Stram. Hank had been to two Super Bowls, won one. Now, he wasn't really given a fair shot here. He had an impetuous owner in John Meacham Jr. And you could almost tell from the start this wasn't going to work. But Hank got fired. Bum comes here, great success with the Oilers. Only thing Bum couldn't do was beat the Steelers in the 70s.
Right.
But he had a lot of success there. Didn't work for Bum. Mike Ditka, great success with, I think one of the great what-ifs of this world, if they could have kept Jim McMahon healthy, because that defense was smothering back then. Didn't win anything here. Nothing at all. But a backup quarterback in the NFL who played at a small school, ended up being the guy, Sean Payton.
Yeah, who does that remind you of?
And so I do think, Charlie, when you in that position as a former quarterback and you have done it at different levels, I wouldn't worry about can he be the leader of men because he's already done that.
He's commanded half of a team before. He hasn't done the full team yet. Once again, first-time head coach. But I think the transition from, you know, being an offensive coordinator for 6 years and commanding half of a team to commanding a full team is obviously an easier jump than, like, if you're just a positional coach becoming a first-time head coach, right? So,
and the fact that he's played.
Right. Okay. And you
because
can,
you know what? You get somebody's attention. See, like Aaron Glenn, he walks in a room and he tells somebody something. Wait a minute. What you telling me for? You know why? Because I've done it.
It's the same thing with like Dan Campbell, right? Now,
exactly.
The personality's different.
They're all different personalities.
Correct.
All three of them.
Correct. And with Kellen, you know, the comparisons to Sean are kind of there. But at the same time, I think Diana Rossini was saying this on Radio Row, like speaking to both of them, they're very different personalities. We'll hear from Kellen Moore pretty soon and kind of gauge it. You know, what he's about, because everything we've heard of him through, you know, Super Bowl week and everything, Nowak has a great quote about this, that he's just basically a head coach already because he's saying a lot of nothing. He wasn't really allowed to say much during Super Bowl week, but now we'll be having this introductory press conference.
He got good training doing that.
Exactly. Great media training. But now we'll finally get to, you know, hear from Kellen Moore and actually get to know the guy for the first time pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to that.
We'll come back. We'll have on with us Les East, who's covered the Saints in the NFL and City of New Orleans for a long time, get his impressions of Super Bowl Sunday, how New Orleans handled the Super Bowl, and certainly by the new head football coach of the New Orleans Saints, Kellen Moore, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelli along with Charlie Long in studio. Tomorrow, we just want to tell everybody at 520, Archie Manning will join us. And I just texted Archie and asked him, did Kellen Moore come to the Manning Passing Academy? I could not remember. I've been asked so many times. And Archie wrote me back, yeah, not only once, twice. So Kellen Moore was at the Manning Passing Academy twice. We'll hear from Archie tomorrow. Tell us, about Super Bowl Sunday and certainly his thoughts on Kellen Moore. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the Saints, the NFL, all of New Orleans for Crescent City Sports, Les East. Les, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be with you as always.
Les, before we get into the Kellen Moore Super Bowl stuff, your thoughts on how the city handled Super Bowl Sunday and the week before, everywhere and everybody I talked to raved about, man, they ought to have this here every year because it's a walkable city. Everything is so close, the hospitality, the food, the Superdome right there, and you know what? Maybe a negative here or there, but good gracious, Les, it was an absolute A-plus Chamber of Commerce grade for the city of New Orleans and for the region.
Yeah, I think it was a lot like the Eagles' performance on Sunday. If you want to nitpick a couple of things, yeah, they gave up 20 points in the end, but they were in control throughout. And I think the city had a great handle on this through the entire week. And people were reminded of why it's been here 11 times, why we were the third city to get it at the beginning, and why they used to come every 2, 3, 4 years. And it felt like there was a momentum within the media to try and make sure that it's not another 12 years before they come back for all the reasons you mentioned. Certainly the compactness of the city is something very few other cities, if anybody, can match. And then you throw in the entertainment venues and the food and the hospitality of people who, you know, every Mardi Gras, they live to welcome out-of-towners and show them a good time. And they have experience in translating that hospitality to sporting events. So, yeah, I think the city did everything it wanted to do, and hopefully they'll be back pretty soon.
Les, made official today, but we've been knowing now for well over a week, Kellen Moore, new head football coach of the Saints. The thing with Kellen, I think I've heard a lot of people say, well, we don't know if he can really carry the big room. My thing is, when you're a quarterback from high school, college, into the pros, man, you're the leader of a man, and you can motivate people, and they're looking at you. You know, they not necessarily looking at the coach. They looking at the quarterback. You are a guy. And, okay, so you got to be able to motivate people a certain way. And we know not everybody's wired the same. You come from different environments. But I don't think that's going to be the issue with Kelly, to be honest with you. I think this is more about getting him better talent. Because I know one thing about coaching. You're a lot smarter coach when you got better players.
Well, there's no question about that. And that was going to really be the key for whoever they hired is, you know, this is not a great roster right now, and their hands are tied to a large degree in trying to upgrade it in the short term. So that was always going to be a big challenge for whoever got the job. Now, with him, you know, to me, the biggest question besides what he has to work with is the same as it would have been with anybody else who's not been a head coach before. Until they do it, whether it's Ben Johnson now, Sean Payton in 06, Nick Sirianni 4 years ago, they may look great on paper, but until they're a head coach, you just don't know. And we don't know about him, but I do think his resume is pretty solid. And from what we do know about him, I think he'd have to say it was a pretty solid hire.
One of the things, Les, I know he's going to get the right offensive staff around him. He knows offensive football. And I always look at it that what's going to happen on the other end, certainly a lot of talk that Brandon Staley would be the defensive coordinator, certainly be in the mix for it. George Edwards is another guy who's the linebackers coach today with Tampa Bay that he's got a connection with. Of what type of staff he brings in there, because that's a side of the football you maybe would have said 2 years ago, even maybe in the offseason, that's a strength of this team on defense. It's not anymore, and they've gotten old. Okay, Cam Jordan, he ain't flipping back the hands of time. Neither is Tyrann Mathieu. Neither is DeMario Davis. It's unbelievable he can play at this level at his age. But this team has gotten old on that side of the football, and there's a lot of retooling on the defensive side also, not just on offense, on defense. And I think the Eagles, the one thing that'll come out of that game, and it's the strength of this year's draft class, out of my top 75, 24 are defensive linemen, defensive ends or tackles. You got to rebuild your defensive line, and you got to do some retooling along the offensive line also. But the defensive coaches, to me, is going to be a real key to Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I agree. Not only because of all the changes they're going to have to make and because they're going to be leaning on a lot of young players, perhaps one or more rookies in the starting lineup next year, depending on how the draft goes, but also because anytime you have a head coach who's focused on one side of the ball, he needs a strong lieutenant handling the other side of the ball. And, you know, as good a start as Sean Payton got off to in New Orleans, going to the NFC Championship the first year, he didn't really get it right with Gary Gibbs as his first DC. And, you know, that worked out enough for them to get to the NFC Championship, but he wasn't the long-term answer as a DC. And Sean kept tinkering with it, trying to get the right person. And Greg Williams caught lightning in a bottle. There was baggage there that complicated his tenure here. And then, you know, Rob Ryan didn't work out, and that's how Dennis Allen got back here. So, you know, that's really important for somebody to have a strong hand on the side of the ball that's not their expertise. And even Sean Payton had his ups and downs with that.
Les, your early thoughts on potential Brandon Staley as the fit for defensive coordinator. Now, Kellen was the OC under the Chargers in 2023, so that's their connection. Staley was obviously the head coach of the Chargers from 2021 through 2023. He was a failed head coach, but he was also kind of thrust into the head coaching job pretty quickly, whereas Kellen Moore was an OC for 6 years before getting his first head coaching opportunity in the NFL. Brandon Staley was only a DC for 1 year, and that was with the Rams. Now, that 1 year with the Rams was 2020. They had the best defense in the entire NFL, the top-ranked scoring defense at least. So, you know, maybe some people may see the Brandon Staley name and think, oh, well, he was a failed head coach of the Chargers. But just look back to that 1 year that he had with the Rams as a DC. You know, sometimes those guys, they're great coordinators, but they don't necessarily work out as head coach, but they still can coordinate a defense or an offense, whichever side of the ball that they're on. So your early thoughts on Brandon Staley, the connection with Kellen Moore, and, you know, the potential for him to be the Saints' next DC?
Yeah, I think it should be helpful if that person you're going to lean on to run the other side of the ball is someone you have familiarity with and trust and know that you can communicate what you want from that side of the ball. So I think that's definitely a plus. And Staley, if he were to be the guy, would be coming here to be the DC. I don't care what he did as a head coach. He's not being brought in here to be a head coach. He got to be a head coach because of the job he did as a DC previously. So I think whoever it is that they wind up bringing in to run the defense, I think it needs to be somebody like Brandon Staley, even if it weren't to be him, someone who has some skins on the wall in that position, and preferably somebody that the head coach knows and trusts and has worked with previously.
Les, I always love success stories. And Jalen Hurts, okay, he was a highly recruited high school athlete in Texas. His dad a coach. We talked to Pete Jenkins about him. Pete didn't coach him, but he was helping Alabama's defensive line. And he was hearing all this from Coach Saban about how tough he was and how focused he was and how his dad, when the other kids were out, maybe, kind of having a good time as a teenager. No. You concentrate on playing ball, that sort of thing. And he stumbles at Alabama, gets him to the national championship game, doesn't play well in that first half, and he gets yanked for Tua. And they end up winning it with Tua, and then that was it after that. Tua had control of Alabama's team. He didn't soak. He didn't, oh, man, woe is me. He didn't cry about it or complain. He goes to Oklahoma and works with Lincoln Riley. And all of a sudden, I thought he was always a thrower. Then he became a passer and a good one at Oklahoma. He ended up finishing runner-up for the Heisman. He goes to Philly, and he gets picked in round two. But a lot of people thought he might turn out to be more of a Taysom Hill-type player, not a starting quarterback. And you see him just bust his behind each and every day to get better as a player. And he's so stoic. I remember when he came to Manning when he was at Alabama, you couldn't tell if he had a good day or a bad day. I mean, he had that kind of stoic face to him. The most emotion I saw from him was after the Super Bowl win. That was the most I saw him smile and kind of laugh and cut up a little bit. I'd never seen that from Jalen. And it's a great success story about it's not all going to be an easy path for you. You're going to stumble and fall. It's about the get up. And that's what happened with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and I think we got a pretty good hint of what he was made of by what he did at Oklahoma. Because getting benched in the championship game at Alabama, not only getting benched, but then they come back and win the game because a guy who replaced you was so much better than you on that particular night, and then continuing as a backup and then going to Oklahoma and reviving his college career the way he did. The way he responded to that adversity should have told us he was destined for success. And then last week, as I covered the Super Bowl, my assignment was primarily the Eagles, so I was around him a lot at the news conferences last week. And very few people that you cover for just a few days in news conference settings can leave much of an impression on you, at least not a positive one. I was so impressed by him, just how intelligent he is, how articulate he is, how comfortable he is in his own skin, and how freely he talked about the adversity he had to deal with. And all of those characters have shown up on the football field, and they showed up big time on Sunday. It is a great story, and I'm really happy for the guy.
Les, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, and we'll be seeing each other pretty soon.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Les East does a great job covering the Saints, the NFL, and also certainly the New Orleans scene for Crescent City Sports. When we come back, we'll have on with us the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, right after this break here of the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, visit with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Mike, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. We knew this was coming. It was no surprise. Became official today. And just get your opinion on with Kellen Moore. And the one thing I've heard over and over again about, can he be the leader in the big room? I think he's been a quarterback. He's done that all his life. I don't think that's going to be the issue that is going to make or break him. Now, he needs to retool his roster. They need help at basically every position across the board from either a starter or a depth standpoint. But to me, it won't be about his leadership as a head coach.
No, I definitely agree. Almost built for this, right? His dad was a coach. He's been around this whole coaching profession his entire life from Prosser, Washington, not too far from Mickey, about 5 hours from Mickey Loomis. But I agree. Even though he's young, be 36 when camp begins, I do not think the leadership will be an issue because he's a quarterback. And he's been a coordinator for 6 years and three different teams, which is, to me, speaks a lot. So I agree. Hopefully this is one of those good things come to those who are patient. And even though the Saints may have been the last team to fill their head coaching vacancy. In a couple of years, that will mean nothing. And he has a lot of work to do. And with staff and players and cap. But I'm excited.
One of the things last week, we had Kelsey Nicole Nelson on, who covers the D.C. scene and covers the Commanders, also the Ravens. And she was like, Mike, remember last year, who's the last coach hired? Dan Quinn. She said the only problem is, and she got a lot of family here in the Louisiana, Mississippi area, even though she grew up in Maryland. She said, but y'all don't have Jaden Daniels. We do. And you ain't getting him anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is kind of what it is. You inherit what you inherit, and most of the coaching staff is gone. So this will be, you know, a very stern test as he kind of takes over. But if you kind of look at his, you know, just kind of I've been going through his kind of his OC, his teams, and kind of how they rank offense and where they do running the football and passing the football. And to me, what just the ability and how well they've been able to run the football wherever he's been. So he's been an offensive coordinator for 6 years and, you know, in the top 10 as far as rushing yards, 4 times. Top 10 as far as attempts, 3 times. Top 10 as far as TDs, 3 times. And so that's out of 6 years, that's more than half the time he's been in the top 10. And that's good to see. Now, you know, I don't think I've ever seen it as unbalanced as I have with a Super Bowl winning team, with pass to run being 32nd and first run versus the pass. But hey, when you got what you got, you got what you got, right? We're not going to pass just to be equal. And so I'm interested to see, because it's a fine line. And you and I have talked about this, and Charlie knows this as well. The ability to run and stop the run is the whole game.
Yep.
When you look at Philadelphia's yards per attempt running the football, they're 4.9. All right, so that's fifth in the NFL. Now the Saints are 4.4, and you're like, well, gosh, 0.5, you know, half of a yard can't be that big of a difference. Guess what? Saints are 14th running the football. It is a big difference, and it's that kind of. We got Saquon Barkley, but we got some tools. But running the football and stopping the run will be unequivocally, I'm assuming, the first 10 words out of his mouth on Thursday.
I agree with you, Mike. Here's my thing. If we could get the trade-off of not only getting him, but their offensive and defensive lines, I'd call that a deal. Because, it does go to show you that winning up front in the trenches still matters. People, receivers and tight ends, and that's all great and fine to have, and you need a quarterback. Now, I think that's first and foremost. But that's an area where you could see on this team especially, they've got some holes there that they need a rebuild. Defensive line, you got a couple players there, certainly with Carl Granderson and Brian Brisset, but you know, every system is hybrid. People talk about, well, Brandon Staley likes to run a 3-4. No, everything is sort of a hybrid look today. It might look like a 3-4, but they got a fourth guy out there to rush, standing up to rush the quarterback. To me, this is all about personnel. Can you retool this roster to win up front? I think that is going to be the biggest task for Kellen Moore.
And I think you have to look at it in a period of time. If you look at the 25 cap situation, 52, whatever it is, but how much better it gets in 26 than in 27, you start playing a little more with an equal deck, right? I mean, you're going to have to address some concerns. And everybody says defensive end. To me, if you look at Philly, where was Philly the best on
defensive tackle?
Defensive tackles, baby. And you didn't have to blitz, right? We talked about that last week before the game. They would be able to put pressure on Mahomes with their four, and they did. And so, man, I know that the cry is defensive end, but man, you got to get some big boys in the middle to stop that run.
Yeah, I mean, winning in the trenches is gigantic, and Kellen Moore, Mike, the thing that kept popping up at Radio Row this week, every time we talked with Philadelphia Eagles people and asked their thoughts about Moore, was his ability to go from what he was viewed for as like a passing game coordinator. Like Dak Prescott, they're airing it out, CeeDee Lamb, they're putting up big numbers in the passing game, to then going to Philadelphia, and as I mentioned, winning in the trenches. Philadelphia had the best offensive line in football. I think Detroit's the only one that could put up an argument for that. And Saquon Barkley, offensive player of the year, goes for over 2,000 rushing yards. And the kind of conversation shifted that he plays to the strength of his players, right? Like, he coaches to the strength of his players. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, that's one of the main strengths of Kellen Moore as a coach, and seeing him kind of change his philosophy from being such a pass-happy guy with Dallas. Now, the Chargers was a little bit different because Justin Herbert was hurt that year, and I know they weren't that great. It's probably his worst year as an offensive coordinator by the numbers, but there's other circumstances there. To then going to Philadelphia, you have that offensive line in front of you, you have Saquon Barkley, you have the best rushing attack in the NFL, and just kind of the shift that Kellen Moore had. I think that was very impressive.
Mike, the other thing, too, about it is, and if you're a quarterback, who's your best friend? The running game. Man, I ain't got a Cardolette on my back.
You're gonna say tight end.
Good gracious.
And an offensive line, too.
And so that, to me, I think Kellen Moore understands that when he was a quarterback, it doesn't matter at what level, man, if you don't have a running game to balance the passing, doesn't matter who you have at wide receiver. You got to be able to run the football and control the clock. But I agree with you that 1-32 is a, because I don't know if there's another Super Bowl team that was like that.
Right. That unbalanced, on both sides of the football. And I think Charlie's right. I think when you hear this a lot when there's a new coach, and that is, hey, the system fits the talent. It's not the other way around. And I think that's the way he goes into it. And he wants to be a physical football team and play with tempo and push the tempo that will stress the defense. Agree wholeheartedly. The key to that is, man, it's another new system, right? And so the ability for those guys to play fast is to now know the system. And maybe that's simplicity, whatever it is, but if they have to think that millisecond, it's too much. So I agree. It's the system has to fit the talent that you have, but man, they've got to know it so well, because if you can't play fast in this league, you're half a beat off, and half a beat is a half a yard, and you ain't making the first down.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, and it's the start of something new. I think for fans, they're excited about it. Most of them are. I think they realize this is not going to be a quick fix here. It's going to take a little while, but I see a little bit of pep in the step from Saints fans today.
I agree. I appreciate it. And let me just say this. Stop having new eras? We've had post-Drew, post-Sean, Dennis, Rizzi, Moore, Derek Carr. Enough new eras. Let's have some stability, baby.
You know what we should have? Winning eras. That's what right. I want. I want winning
I'm
eras.
With you. Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
You bet.
Voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes. We come back. We'll finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk right here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. And at 520, Mark Schlereth will join us. And Charlie, no surprise today when the trade went down with Brandon Ingram to Toronto. We sort of knew that they had a deal set in place. And so Ingram, what is it, 3 years, 120?
3 years, 120 million, so 40 average annual value. Real quick, Mike, I want to bring this up. We'll talk more about the Pels in the next hour. Mike was talking about at the end of the interview stability, right? And it reminded me of, I forget which Raiders guest we had on, but they talked about the Raiders have had 15 head coaches in the last 30 years. Saints had a lot of stability under Sean Payton.
And part of that was Al Davis.
Oh, I know.
A big part of it. Man, listen, Al, he wanted to run the show at the end of his life. Well, he always did, but he made some bad
things. We're not that bad, Mike.
But, man, that wasn't good there. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.